2 Corinthians chapter 10, we'll read verse 14 through verse 16. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. Look what it says, verse 16. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again that we can be right here in your house, hearing from your word. We're grateful that the Holy Spirit's involved. And Father, I know my word would barely reach the ears, but the Holy Spirit can take that from the ears to the heart and transform a life. And we pray your word would do exactly that. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to focus on the word beyond. And I, tonight, as we sat in prayer meeting, was amazed by how many times that word was mentioned, not just by your preacher, but by others in our conversation and even our prayers. And here's what Missions Conference is all about, stirring us once again to go beyond. And how many realize without the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God, we would be very limited in what we did, our view of the world and reaching the world. I'll tell you what, it would be pitiful without the constant prodding of the Holy Spirit of God to do a little bit more. Here's what I've done in life. I want to surround myself with preachers that push me to go beyond. I want to read biographies of missionaries that motivate me to go beyond. I want to be involved in missions projects that motivate our church to go beyond the normal. And here's what Paul did. Paul was going beyond, and your pastor mentioned this word already tonight. Look what it says in verse 14. How do we go beyond? It says, for we, what's the next word? Stretch. How many of you have ever had a physical ailment that required physical therapy afterwards in order to experience a full recovery? And those people that are so brutally merciless that they force you to stretch, they hurt you. Anybody ever had any of that? They hurt you. Their job is to inflict pain. But what they tell you when they inflict that pain is, this is for your good. You're going to experience atrophy that's going to limit you for the rest of your life if you don't stretch this muscle. And here's what the Spirit of God is. He is our spiritual therapist. In Missions Conference, he's saying you need to stretch a little further. And how many of you have ever stretched far enough for it to hurt? A little bit. That's what the Holy Spirit's trying to do. It's a healthy endeavor to get us to stretch beyond our county and our city and our state and what we're doing in our local church. We're supposed to stretch. And some would say, but Pastor, you didn't finish reading. You're taking that out of context. Okay. For we stretch not ourselves. A lot of Baptists just stop right there and put a period on it. Pastor, we stretch not ourselves. No, there's more to the verse. Beyond our measure. You know, the Holy Spirit is not going to stretch you beyond measure. Matter of fact, go back to chapter 8, and we see, talking to the church here at Corinth, he gives them the example of the church at Philippi, the Macedonian churches. He said, more brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God. Verse 2, how in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, things were not good economically. But look what it says, verse 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, in what? Beyond their power, they were willing. And here's what I believe Mission Conference is about, saying, God, we're willing to go beyond what we did this year. We're willing to reach beyond the countries that we reached this year. We're willing to help more missionaries beyond the missionaries that we helped this year. Lord, my family, we're willing to go and pray beyond what we prayed this year. Here's one of the best things I did in my spiritual life and in our faith promise giving, what we've taught our people, our faith promise, some too often think that's the ceiling, that's the cap. And I want our people to look at that as the baseline. So whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do, if that's $100 a week or $100 a month or $1,000 or $2,500 or whatever that number is, to say, God, that's the minimum that I'm going to do, but as you provide this year, as you bless me this year, as projects arise, as missions trips and opportunities arise, no matter where I'm at, no matter what missions conference I'm preaching in, there's always an opportunity. I can't tell you how many missionaries I've taken on that either I don't know or my church doesn't know personally, because here's what happens. When I'm out a lot of times, I have missionaries scheduled. Brother Blake Muscott was one of those. I just met him for the very first time. And we've supported him for years, but he came through Capital City. When I go back, I ask our men, what do you think? How did that go? And we'll take on six, seven, eight guys during the year that came through when I was gone that our men said, let's get behind this ministry. And then they know, not only will they take men on that I don't know, but as I travel and preach a missions conference, I'll come back and I say, I met two guys I think we ought to support. Pastor, let's do it. And there's a mutual faith that says, let's go beyond whatever we're doing, whatever the normal is, whatever our comfort zone is, let's go beyond that and stretch ourselves. And that's what the Holy Spirit of God wants us to do. And here's what Paul did. Let's go back to our text for just a minute. Paul was constantly stretching himself, as your pastor mentioned this morning. Matter of fact, look what it says, chapter 11, the other page, verse 23. Paul speaking of what he suffered. He said, are they ministers of Christ? I am more. Labor's more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. And the list just goes on and on and on. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. I was a missionary 15 years. I was never beaten. I was never stoned. I was never jailed. But folks, had any one of those things happened to me, I might have tapped out. I might have said, you know what? That's that beaten stuff. 39 times with a rod, that didn't feel good. I think I'm out of here. I think I'm going to find a different profession or find a different or a safer place to minister. And here's what Paul did. That first journey, he goes out to the area of Galatia on foot. Now we know it starts out on boat, but as he travels across, and he's stoned to death on that very first trip. Right. And the church is there in Antioch, Pisidia, and Lystra, and Derbe, and Iconium, and he comes back, and he doesn't stop with that. The second time, he goes out, the Macedonian Gaul, and Philippi, and Berea, and Corinth, and in these places where his vision was constantly, let's do more. 8 billion souls, at least 3 billion of those never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. I would say the majority of that, God would not give us a command that we could not fulfill. I'd say the majority of that is not the lack, we know it's not the lack of God's power, God's blessing, God's will. It's the lack of vision on our behalf that says, let's go beyond. We're going to have to go beyond our self-deception. Look what Paul said in this verse. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, so we reach not unto you. For we are come, what's it say? As far as to you. I made it all the way to Corinth. Now, if you were living there, as Paul was, ministering in Antioch, and you look at the map and you say, I've got to travel most of this by foot and in a rickety boat, and not a cruise liner, and make these different occasions, different trips, but always going beyond. I wonder how many people would say, you didn't reach as far as unto us. I would wonder, in Austin, we have 2 million people. I don't know how big Statesville is. But I wonder, even in our own communities, how many houses, how many people, at the judgment seat, I wonder how many people in this county would say, I lived in a house that never got a track. Something happened to me for the very first time yesterday. I'm 53 years old, preacher. I have never in my lifetime had anyone give me a track or give me the gospel. Not one time. And yesterday I sat in a barber chair 50 miles up the road from here, and a guy walked in and started witnessing to all of us. And he was boldly witnessing. And one of the men in there mentioned that his daughter was a Jehovah's Witness. And he said, well, she doesn't even believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And he quoted John 1:1 and verse 14. And he said, if she didn't change her belief, that girl's going to die and burn forever in a devil's hell. He said that with four or five of us sitting there. I mean, he was bold and straight up. And I got up from the barber's chair with that cape on, with my hair half cut. And I said, I just want to shake your hand. I said, I've been asking God for 50 years to have someone outside of my local church give the gospel to me. I would love to be in a public place. And you're the first man to ever do that. But I wonder how many in our communities, we're talking about where there's Christian radio and Bible and is saturated with the gospel for scores of years, but I wonder how many people in your county live in a place where they're going to die and go down and say, the gospel never reached my door. Living right next door to a Christian because we didn't go beyond. And here it was, Paul said, I'm going to take it a step further. I'm going to go beyond. I'm going to stretch myself. And here's what he said, verse 15. Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors. Look what he says, verse 16. He repeats that. To preach the gospel to region beyond you and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready at our hand. Now, God's allowed me to pioneer when we're in Argentina, in Mexico. He allowed us to go into places that had no gospel witness. When we were in Pachuca, Mexico, literally, when we went there, I had to talk to strangers, people I never met before, and ask them if they would co-sign on a house so I could rent. Now, you want to talk embarrassing, just go to pure strangers, maintain a 15 or 20 minute conversation and say, I don't know you, you don't know me, but I need someone to co-sign on this house. No, you don't know how many times I had people tell me, no, are you out of your mind? That's what pioneering is. You're not building on another man's work. Right. And you're meeting people and you got to find a place to rent. You're starting services and no one's there and you're trying to come up with a few converts. And that's difficult. I thank God in Austin, Texas, I took over my dad's church and I'm building on another man's labor. I'm enjoying a building that I didn't build. I didn't pay a dime for. I'm sitting in pews and we're playing a piano and I'm running a college ministry and a school ministry that I didn't have to start. And I've done both. But one is a whole lot easier than the other. Right. And here's what Paul said. I'm not going to build on another man's work. There are too many places that have never heard the gospel, and I want to make sure that we get there. And that's my point tonight, church. God has so burdened me this year about going beyond and looking at places where our shadow, the shadow of Temple Baptist or the shadow of Capital City Baptist, has never reached, where our arm is never reached. I've taken a look this year at our missionaries in the countries they're in, the regions of those countries, and said, okay, God, if you provide, and God, the more I pray this, the more God responds. God, would you connect me to men in countries where we've never been, never reached, never invested, never sent a Bible, never sent a missionary team? Now, go with me to Acts chapter 11. We talk about beyond. Let's talk about Paul for just one more minute. Look what it says in Acts 11. We know beyond starts with the widest fields. And I've been preaching this and teaching this and yelling about this and arguing with people about this. Yes, I believe beyond has to start with the widest fields. Look what it says, verse 25. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. And they taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. You know where Paul started with Barnabas? In a very fruitful field where the Bible tells us, we read it this morning, that a great, verse 21, number believe there's a lot of new converts, and Barnabas is going to be sent up from the church at Jerusalem. He's going to help grow and disciple. And there was just, this is what we're seeing right now. We started our Spanish church 10 years ago. Our Spanish church now is the same size as our English church. In our discipleship class on Sunday afternoons, there's times we've had as low as 20, but there's times that we've had just recently as many as 70 people in our new convert discipleship classes. It's just overflowing. I can't keep up with the visits and the people that are receiving Christ as their Savior. I thank God for all of that. And I believe, here's what I told our people, I always want to be open-minded about the widest field. Those of you that know anything about farming or harvesting, you know, that time of harvest, there's a brief window. What does the farmer do? Someone take care of an orchard, whether that's apples or peaches or whether that's corn. How many of you done any farming at all? Wheat in the fields, know anything about farming? A few of you. What do? Everything else stops for that moment of time. You have a week or two, and you know, if that's not harvested, it's lost. You're going to gather all the people and all the friends and all the laborers, and no expense is spared, and everybody's attention is focused on that harvest. And here's what we have, as Brother Smith said, in Kenya, Uganda, the Philippines, Mexico. There are places right now around the world where people are just, Guyana is another one of those countries, Zimbabwe, where Nicaragua is probably the most open country I've ever been to in my life. People are responding. You just preach the gospel. When you're sitting in this environment, you haven't seen it. It almost sounds like a lie. It sounds like easy believism. It sounds too simple. But church, I'm telling you, I've been there. I've seen it. I've witnessed it with my eyes. I'll be back in Philippines in September. I remember the first time going over there and preaching, and you're sitting in a church about 1,500 people, and he said, we're going to have a revival, just preach to the church people, and I did. And he said, just add about 10 minutes of gospel to the end, and I did. And at the end, he just got up and said, anybody here unsaved, you need to get saved. And people start putting their hands up. There's 10 and 15, 25, 30, 35, 40 people. He said, just come forward. We'd like to give you the gospel. And they started to come forward. I thought, we barely preached on the gospel. Yeah, right. And they're taking them. He has a line of workers as long as this wall. And in the person that was inquiring, he'd come up, he'd just match them up, and out they go, and match them up, and out they go, match them up, and out they go. And about 35, 40 minutes later, they start to bring in the new converts. And in America, in this day and age, we can't wrap our minds around that. But those white fields, I've had people tell me, I don't want to send anyone else to the Philippines. I don't want to send anyone else to Mexico. You're a fool. The harvest is there. We couldn't send enough laborers to these countries where the harvest is white. And that's what Paul did. He was constantly looking for white fields. Look what it says in John chapter 4, a very familiar text. There shouldn't be any delay. God's allowed us to see countries like Malawi and Uganda and Nicaragua. And here's the shame of all this. Usually the Jehovah Witnesses or the Mormons are so quick to jump. They're the first ones through those doors while Baptists are dragging their feet and lagging behind. What a shame. How many remember when the wall came down in Russia? How many remember the pictures of the Jehovah Witnesses 6 months after the wall came down? They baptized 5,000 converts in Red Square. Where were the Baptists? We were still praying for one of our young people to be called. We were so far behind the curve. The day the door opened in Germany, the wall came down in Germany, the Mormons sent in 44 of their missionaries with $1 million apiece. Why? White fields and the cults are ready to jump and the Baptists are sleeping. Look what it says in John 4 verse 35. Say not ye, there yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They are white. They are white. The fields are white right now. You can find a field. And because of modern transportation, we can get there immediately. It's incredible. I know people were limited in times past. Limited in travel around the states, and limited in support, and limited in transportation, and limited in literature. We don't have those limitations anymore. He that reapeth receiveth the wages, and gathereth fruit unto what? Life eternal. Now here's a blessing, verse 36. Both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap where... whereon ye bestowed no labor. How many of you like that? You like when your missionaries come. You didn't have to learn. You didn't have to learn any of those Lugandan or any of those other dialects or languages. Right. You didn't have to go over to those countries and eat mush mush. Right. And I've been there, folks. I've been there. All those missionaries lie about the food. Brother Keith will come stand in your pulpit. He'll look you in the eye and he'll tell you, it's good. It's a lie of the devil. It'll turn your stomach, give you the heebie-jeebies, make you never want to take another missions trip. But guess what? Here's a blessing of missions. You get to support them. You don't have to learn Japanese or Chinese or any Cambodian language. You don't have to go to Laos. You didn't have to eat bugs or crickets or grasshoppers. I've eaten worms. I've eaten grubs. It's all disgusting. And these people think it's a delicacy. There are times in Africa, preacher, I couldn't wait to get on the plane out of town. I mean, he's like, you want to go to the airport 5 hours early? Yes. Why so early? Because you won't take me 7 hours early. I'm ready to get out of here. I thank God for the opportunity. I thank God for the response. I thank God for the investment. And I thank God for the exit out. Amen. But I thank God I'm reaping in those countries by way of missions. I can go beyond Austin, Texas because of missions. Now, go with me to Acts 13, verse 47, and we're done. So when we talk about beyond, yes, our focus has got to be on the widest fields. In church, I think when God provides us the opportunity and the man and the moment, we ought to take advantage. We sent teams. We helped Chris and his ministry this year through an evangelistic event. I just had, as I mentioned last week, we're in Mexico, got a phone call, and they needed a team to go into Guyana. Into the bush, and they're struggling to find people willing to go into the bush. And I called up one of our assistants. I said, get a team of 5 or 6 together. Let's get them over there. And this is a constant thing. Here's what I've told the Lord. If you provide us the opportunity, we will provide a willing spirit. We'll make sure that it happens. God's allowed us to build buildings all across the world and put roofs on auditoriums and buy land and help purchase vehicles and send teams, and I want to keep an open eye. When there's a white field and a ripe moment, I want to make sure we're not making an excuse why we can't. But there's something really that, all of that was said is an introduction to this one thought. Look what it says in Acts 13 verse 47. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, no, go back to verse 46. Paul and Barnabas, they waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation. What's it say? Unto the ends of the earth. Now, church, I said that was the last text. I lied to you. We got to go to Matthew 11. I think we got to end with Matthew 11. Here's the burden of my heart this year. If we look at 195 nations, I know supposedly 65 of those are closed countries. American missionaries not able to get in, even through other kinds of visas, it would be nearly impossible, although I've been in close countries. I've seen Christians in places where people thought there were no Christians. I would challenge you this year to look at a map and pray for your preacher and say, thank God for what we're doing in Kenya, but what about Eritrea? Thank God for what's going on in Uganda, but what about Burkina Faso? I'd say South Africa right now, it's incredible what's taking place in the harvest of souls. But Northern Africa, Sudan, war-torn countries, here's what I'm praying this year. God, would you provide me the opportunity? We're talking yesterday about Bangladesh, Laos, Cambodia. If you took a look at your missionaries and your mission dollars and the places where you're sending money and say, God, would you open up doors for us this year to go beyond? Would you allow us to touch a few countries that we've never touched? Would you allow us to get the gospel in a few areas where we've never gotten the gospel? Would you allow us to reach some people maybe that would never be reached by any other church? Now, here's what we do when it comes to hard countries and hard nations. Look what Christ said, Matthew 10, verse 20. Then beginning he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Verse 21, woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. Now look what he says. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. He said, you have had, what about Statesville? Think about all the gospel, all the preachers, all the churches in Statesville, all the opportunity, the Christian radio, the gospel's been here for a long time. Very few towns across the world has received as many opportunities as Statesville, yes. North Carolina. You're right. But here's what he said to these cities. You guys have heard and have not repented. Tyre, what's the king of Tyre? Satan himself was called the king of Tyre. Sidon, that was Jezebel's territory. That was Baal, the heart of Baal worship. He said those places, if they would have had a missionary, had Christ and his disciples traveled across those areas and preached the gospel, they would have repented, but they didn't have the opportunity. And here's what we do. We look at these places around the world. They say they're Muslim, they're too hard. They're communists, the doors shut too tightly. Church, it's more than just giving. What about this year? If everyone in here got a heart and a map and you took a look at your world, what if you just went old school? Anybody have one of those globes in the house? What if you just grabbed the globe and put a light on it? Right. And you took a look in some country you never prayed for and you said, Lord, what if you'd guide missionaries or opportunities in these countries to our pastor and allow us to walk through a door we've never been through? What if we prayed as a family for a country where we've never heard about any missionary going to or lasting in that country? Saying, God, would you allow us to be the first? Would you allow us to be a participant? Would you allow us, like Paul, in a day and age of radio and tracts and Bibles and missionaries, would you allow us as a church to go beyond?